Welcome to the Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Eisley Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
It's a special Saturday celebration edition of the Wretched Hive Podcast. Saturday, April 15th, 2017. Celebration's in full effect, and we had to come on to share a little bit about this new trailer that's out, a little bit about what's been happening at Celebration. It's been a fun couple of days to watch from afar, but you feel like you're in it because StarWars.com is streaming everything. And we're not going to get into too many of the panels, but we really wanted to talk about this trailer. We've got a new Episode 8, The Last Jedi trailer to dissect. And we are so happy that you've joined us to listen in on the Wretched Hive special edition. Joining me today, lifelong Star Wars fan, Scotty Vansky.
Oh, thanks, Steve. I can't tell you how excited I am. I'm actually up early in the morning. Yes, it's early on Saturday for me.
It's 11 a.m. You're not usually up by 11 a.m.?
Oh, hell no, man. Come on. I'm up late. I can't help it, man. I've been streaming all this Star Wars stuff and the trailer yesterday. Oh, can't wait to talk about this.
It is hard. I agree. It is hard to sleep right now. I'm up at till 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, watching this the recording of the stream from YouTube.
Yeah.
Last night. So much good stuff. Also joining us, returning to the show after missing last week, we have Dave. Under no circumstances should you ever, and I mean ever, call him Harry Potter.
Never. Greetings and salutations. We're 5x5. I am, like Scott, just out of bed recently, although we weren't sleeping together. Let's just kill that ugly rumor right now. Although he did show me his Chewbacca a little earlier. But
that's
I
a Harry Chewbacca.
I learned a valuable lesson yesterday. I learned a valuable lesson yesterday about being a supervisor at work. I told one of my staff members that it was an other duty as assigned. They had to watch the Return of the Jedi teaser trailer, and about 90 seconds later, I heard the familiar Star Wars music wafting over a cubicle wall, and I realized, you know, I got to be a little more careful, a little more responsible around the office.
Beautiful. Yeah, I did not get a chance to watch it all on Thursday. I was too busy at work even to break away and cheat a little bit, but I did see the trailer on Friday. I was off work on Friday, got to see it live with my son, so that was really cool. In bed, watching it live on the YouTube or on the stream, actually, through StarWars.com. So what we're going to do here is, can you guys see my screen?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so we're going to ahead. Fantastic. We're going to go ahead and play the trailer. I've got it queued up here. I'm not going to go full screen mode, but I think I can pull it in like that for you guys. How's that?
Looks good. Yeah, it looks good over here.
Okay, great. All right, so I've just got it queued up to the beginning. Let's go ahead and play this thing, and we'll break it down a little bit and see what we see. So, familiar Starfield.
Or is it?
Or is it? So, right away, you've got Rey. Clearly, looks like she's struggling to breathe. Something's happening to Rey here. It looks like she's on Scarif. Not Scarif. what's the name of the island? Octu, yes. There's some
Octung, baby.
We're gonna break it down while the trailer's playing. We're gonna pause and stuff.
I figured I would, unless you want to just let it roll. Would you rather let it roll all the way through?
Yeah, no. I think most people have seen it, at least 10, 12, 15 million people. Let's just go with it, but I just want to point a few things out if I can jump in.
Sure.
You mentioned the first shot we see is it looks like a star field, and then it clearly fades into a very dark-looking rock surface, yeah, which Rey seems to fall onto. So the expression on Rey, I just wanted to point out a couple things or theories or thoughts on this. We don't know the story yet, and some of this might be hypothetical spoilers, so just be warned. I really feel like she's got the same type of expression that she had in The Force Awakens when she goes into that kind of force flashback, force dream, whatever it is. So that's my feeling on it. It also could just be extreme Luke training methods.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it looks like it's almost as if, and again, I'm projecting here into a plot line that I really have no idea what it is. Nobody does at this point. Very few people do. But it's maybe this is like the first time that she's actually using the Force to reach out and to sort of utilize that power that she's had within her, only she's getting trained by a Jedi Master now, and she's really able to tap into it, and it's almost like overwhelming. That's kind of where my mind went with it.
That's a good point. I'm probably jumping over Dave here. Sorry, Dave. But I'm going to say I like what you're saying there, Steve. I'm going to throw this out there, and not because I want to sit and argue or debate it right now, but there is another shot later on we'll discuss where she does show her hand on the surface where she's starting to levitate rocks. We'll get to that later. But my only argument and my only thing about that is if you do look at this and go back to The Force Awakens, just notice that it has the same kind of look and feel as that moment when she's down in Maz Kanata's castle in the basement, picking up Anakin's lightsaber. Excuse me.
Well, that would line up right? That would line up well because she's sort of getting hit by the Force for the first time there as well. So right. It's feeling of like shock and like, of like, oh my God, what is this? You know?
Oh yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Oh, so go ahead, Dave. I got to jump in. Yep. This is a little late, but we're going to be speculating on plot points and potential storylines. So if you are someone who doesn't like that, one, I don't know why you're listening to us at this point, but please stop. Please just stop. Please just stop and move on to the next episode, and it'll all be fine.
Yeah, at least know that there are possible spoilers here that we're going to be discussing, and if you haven't watched the trailer yet, you must not be part of this planet or something. I don't know. So
I don't even know if you can call it spoilers. I think it's more, you know, just a conjecture from a bunch of idiots is what it is.
It's complete uninformed speculation, but if you don't like that sort of thing, just stop now. Just turn us off, go listen to Serial again, do something else.
In fact, if you don't like speculation, I would stick with Serial or, you know, How Do They Make This, or How Is This Made, or some other show, because that's about all we do on this show. All right, so let's go ahead and play here. Familiar Lucasfilm logo.
But it's gray.
Ooh, but it's gray. So that's interesting. Was it gold previously?
It's not. I could be wrong here, but I don't recall it being such a neutral color before. I think it's had more of a blue or a green tilt to it.
Yeah, that's a good question. We should definitely look back on that. There's a lot of subtle little things, and I'm sorry to jump over you, Dave, but there are little subtle things throughout this trailer, and certainly for me at Celebration, I noticed a few things with some of the characters that were on stage being interviewed. So I'll point those out a little bit later. But yes, I agree with Dave on this, that the Lucasfilm does have a gray, which falls in line with some, again, speculation later on, which we will get into.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Yeah. Hold that color.
Breathe.
Beautiful imagery of the island.
Breathe. Yeah.
Just beautiful shots here of
total Octu porn.
Octu.
That's all it is.
I mean, it's amazing that I did not know anything about this island or this region before the Star Wars universe and the filmmakers started to, you know, found it and started filming there. I mean, it just makes you want to go. Obviously, it's like a fan's dream, and a lot of fans have done this to plan trips around the Star Wars universe and visit these set locations. And what a fantastic place to visit. And I understand that there's a boat that goes out there once a day to take tourists, only once a day. So it takes a little bit of planning, but boy, this is very quickly got into my bucket list here. Now, really quick with the voice that's saying breathe, just breathe. Are we assuming this is Luke?
It sounds like him, yeah.
Yeah, I think the consensus is that it's Luke, but as we get a little later on, I'll talk about some of the speculation that I've seen online and even some of the questions that I got from Christine when we watched it for the first time together last night.
Excellent. Okay, so push and play.
Now, reach out.
So really quick, that was a nice shot of, I'm a little bit behind here, that was a nice shot of Rey standing, it looks like, on the shoreline of Ahch-To with the wave crashing into the rock. That's just a great, great, great image.
It is, and I saw somebody online do a mashup of slides of the image from Anakin in Attack of the Clones standing on the balcony, framed up, just looking out. And
she
then
got the same pose there.
And then it was also a picture of Luke standing in front of Vader's funeral pyre from Return of the Jedi, and it just had all three images, boom, 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 stacked on top of each other.
Oh, that's a great observation. It's the same pose. Feet shoulder-width apart. We can see her back. She's looking off into the distance, and her arms are a little bit sort of not straight down, but sort of almost like an angle to form a letter A with her body. It's that's a great catch.
It is, and I want to throw one more thing into that. All three of those different characters, okay, so you have Anakin, you have Luke, and you have Rey, and I'm not going to get into the whole Skywalker possibility, even though I do feel that way. Each one, this is a very symbolic pose throughout the entire saga, but each one each one in theory is a Skywalker. There is a sorry, Steve.
So you're saying this is the first Kenobi to join in the
No,
posing.
Absolutely not. What I'm saying is, what my theory is each one is shown from this point of view. The filmmakers purposely do this shot from each generation point of view that shows an unknown or an uncertainty, destiny or future that could be either light or dark. And I thought that was a really cool catch on Dave's part, where they're all shot from the same angle. Anakin standing on the balcony looking out at an unknown moment, doesn't know where his destiny is going to go. Luke ends what is one of the most intense saga or trilogies out of the entire saga, standing there with his father on the funeral pyre. and then you have Rey at a moment at like a crossroads of her life, possibly becoming a Jedi.
Yeah,
maybe.
And regardless of Rey's lineage, This shot does one of two things. It's either one, it's a continuation of that Skywalker imagery that Scott is talking about, or two, if she's not a Skywalker, it is legitimizing her role and importance in the Star Wars universe going forward from this time. It's a bit of a baton pass, if you will.
Sure.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. Okay, so this next shot is the one that you alluded to earlier, Scott, so I'm going to pause it right when we get the...
Reach out.
Okay, now, this image is the first time I think you get a little bit of, that I got, goosebumps. Because this to me is such a powerful image. It's Rey's hand, fingertips barely touching the rock, the ground, with some pebbles seemingly levitating around her hand. It's shot, seems to be shot in like a... 120 frames per second or something. So they've got that super clear, slow motion, just an absolutely powerful and beautiful image.
It is. And
go
ahead, Dave.
Just real quick, and sorry if I'm stealing your thunder on this one, Scott. It's very evocative of Empire Strikes Back and Luke's training on Dagobah, where he's lifting little cases and boulders up. Yeah. I don't know if that's intentional, but that was just instantly what my mind keyed into when I watched this on my phone at my desk Friday.
I had the same thought, actually. Very similar thought. Go ahead, Scott.
That is exactly, and you're not stealing my thunder. I totally agree. It's the same symbolism, the same idea of what we saw Luke going through, and now Luke is teaching her to do this. But the thing we're not getting here is, in the background, the voiceover from Luke is very interesting. It's vague, but it's building to something I think is going to cause a lot of controversy in this new trilogy. But if you listen to his words, it sounds like he's teaching Rey. The first thing he says, the first words we hear him say are breathe. Just breathe.
Let me replay it really quick up to the point where we stopped. Let's rehear what Luke says here.
Just breathe. Now, reach out.
So just breathe and now reach out, as if he's instructing her.
Right. And if we'll continue on this, but I'm going to jump ahead a little bit based off of what he's saying there. So the first thing we hear him say is breathe. Just breathe. Now reach out. And then you're going to hear him say, what do you see?
Let's listen. Let's listen to it.
What do you see?
Okay.
So we're going to go into a couple scenes here. I'm still going to push forward. You don't have to scroll forward. We can re-listen to it in a second. Ray is now going to answer him by saying, light, darkness.
And there's more.
And there's more to it. And you'll hear Luke respond to that. Light, darkness, balance. And then Luke will respond with what I think is going to become one of the most controversial moments in this new trilogy. There's so much more.
Yes. So to go back to the gray Lucasfilm logo, and you'll see a lot of speculation about this online, the idea that it's no longer good, bad. You can be both. The idea that there is this gray Jedi that would be chaotic evil or a chaotic good, I guess, if you were going Dungeons and Dragons on it. And I also want to – I watched a Nerdist video. I just got to pause for this real sec quick. Yep. But they were looking at this Rey pebble levitation scene. And the moment where I think we start to overanalyze these trailers, they were like, what can we tell from the shot? Well, one, we can tell Rey is sitting cross-legged because we can see the sole of her feet. And then they start moving on to other things. And I'm like, God, really? That was an important plot point? We had to stop and talk about that and circle it on the screen and point to it?
Yeah.
yes. All right, here we go. So I'll play this all the way through.
Okay. Light. Darkness. The balance.
Boy, there's a lot. There's a lot there. That was a lot of subtle
key sound editing going on.
Yeah, there was 25 seconds of a lot to talk about there. So, Scott, I'm going to hand it off to you, and just let me know what you want me to do with the audio here.
Okay, actually, let's just leave it paused, and I'm going to just throw a bunch of stuff out right now. And I know Dave's going to jump all over this because I think we have similar thoughts on this. And even you, Steve, I think maybe jumped online and said a few things or text. But
yeah.
Here, let's go with this. So right there, Rey answers, and you hear her say, light. And you see this back shot of Leia, General Leia, what looks like she is looking at the map of Skywalker from The Force Awakens. It's very similar if you go back and look at that map. I'm pretty sure it's the map. In what looks to be like a briefing room of some sort, a resistance briefing room. she goes from there. I'm going to jump back on some of the audio in just a second. So the next thing she says is darkness. And what we see at first, my first thought was, is we see the smashed helmet of Darth Vader. Now, I believe I'm wrong on that. What I think it is the smashed helmet of Kylo Ren.
I agree, but I've gone back and forth on it. Looking at it right now, I think it's Kylo Ren.
I think it's Kylo.
I do too. Now, if you look at the arc on what looks to be the forehead and then the eyepiece right there, it does look like Vader's helmet, but you see those metal pieces that were definitely part of the chrome pieces on his helmet in there. Now, and the other thing you notice subtly is if you watch it close in the high definition version, it's smoldering. So it looks like it just got pummeled by a really angsty Kylo Ren.
What? More teenage angst from Dawson's Creek Kylo Ren?
I think so. Yes, I think so. But what I think is fantastic about this is it's significant into who that character is going to become. And more on that later. And again, the audio will come right back to you. The next moment that we hear her say is balance. But before we hear balance, you're going to see a scene of this room that looks like a very organic, like almost inside of a tree. There's branches and what looks like roots. And
I don't think it's a room. It looks to me, zooming in here, it looks like a bookshelf.
Right, right. Now what I'm going to say is, and there's a lot behind this, here's my speculation, Dave, when I'm finished, jump all over this because you know a lot about the expanded universe as well. What these books represent to me, and this what looks like a bookshelf, but with tree. If you look closely in the darkness, there are winding tree roots and branches. It's very organic looking. And what this represents to me is that Luke, who has been isolated on this island, has been searching for the meaning of the Jedi, the true meaning of the Jedi. And what to me seems like these books, these novels, are the original sources of what the Jedi were supposed to be. And this ties back to the logo being gray. This ties back to a new idea that I think is going to come out of this, is that possibly what we have been led to believe by the Jedi and what we've been told through, you know, seven films now is wrong. And Luke has
from a certain point of view.
From a certain point of view, but Luke is here studying this and now has an opportunity to not just train Rey, but to teach her properly.
Are we looking there at the Journal of the Wills?
So that might be that might be part of it. And I want to jump in to build on what Scott's saying.
Yes.
I haven't read all of the new expanded universe stuff, the stuff that's in canon. But of the stuff I've read, I've been very struck by how Luke Skywalker is very deliberately kept off stage and off camera. The only thing that I recall reading of his that's post Return of the Jedi is from the Marvel Comics miniseries Shattered Empire. And it starts Luke on this quest of finding and collecting surviving Jedi artifacts.
Yes.
And the concept of Jedi and Sith artifacts is very fleshed out in the new expanded universe. And one of the things that Luke does is he rescues a tree from Palpatine, one of Palpatine's storehouses. And apparently these kind of Jedi trees have a great significance. So a theory could be that if he was looking for an old Jedi temple, one of the original Jedi temples on Ahch-Tung, you may find this giant tree in which there could be these rooms or caverns where Jedis could store artifacts. And that, I'm thinking, is what we're looking at here.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that, because there is a lot of expanded universe that's either canon or not canon where Luke does go off and collect Jedi artifacts to learn more about the history of the Jedi. And oh my goodness, I just had like 20 thoughts go through my head now. But that's what I think. Oh, so what I was going to say was, what I've noticed about the new trilogy, and you know, the fact that they've basically said no more of the old expanded universe, it's not canon anymore, that they can nitpick anything they want and bring it back and maybe restructure or retell it a different way. And that's what I think they're doing here.
Wow. I agree. They're taking what was, let's be honest, it was not a very well organized and thought out expanded universe, just from all of the different licensees and people that worked on it and different people that supervised it. There was not a cohesive form to it. If you tried to tie it all together, it would collapse under its own weight.
Sure.
But what they are doing, like you said, is they've wiped the slate clean, but they're looking at it and they're saying, ooh, this is a great character, or this is a great idea. How do we bring it into our clean chalkboard world?
Yeah.
And have it all be a cohesive, flowing, you know, form. And the best example of that is Thrawn, Quick Detour, which I'm reading the Tim Zahn book right now and loving it. And if I keep going at this pace, I'll have a review for it on the next full-size regular podcast episode.
Excellent. All right, guys, we're about halfway through and we're 23 minutes in. So we need to pick this up a little bit.
Okay, before you hit play, let's finish up this moment, because you can actually play past this. So the next thing you hear her say is balance, and you see this scroll type thing with a hand glove. That is what I think is the Jedi symbol.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's also reminiscent of the poster.
For Return of the Jedi.
For the Return of the Jedi and for the most recent poster that was just released for The Last Jedi. That Scott, you put up a nice post on our Facebook page about this, comparing the two.
Yeah.
Very similar to both of those posters.
Yeah. It's also evocative of the image that's on the little girl's case in the original Escape to Witch Mountain from the 1970s.
It is. It always somehow goes back to that movie. There's a tie-in to Escape from Witch Mountain in every single episode of The Wretched Hive, I think.
But one thing before we go on, we talked about it real quick. I didn't notice this until it was pointed out to me. Mm-hmm. The sound editing on this is fantastic, because when General Leia comes up, you hear in the background, if you turn it up, Help Me, Obi-Wan, from the original OG Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
It, when she says darkness and Kylo Ren's mask comes up, you hear Darth Vader breathing. And when the interior of what we'll call the tree cave comes up, you hear Yoda saying something, and I forget what it is. But there's some very fantastic callbacks that are going on in this sequence that are subtle, and you don't necessarily consciously pick up on it, but it gives you chills, and then you will realize on a third or fourth viewing why you got the chills.
Yes, one more. I think the line is, he was seduced by the dark side.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
It's Obi-Wan, which makes sense because it involves Rey, so it makes sense that she would be able to channel her grandfather. Anyhow.
Oh, yes.
Kaboom. Okay, so we're going to go.
Are we talking about Luke perhaps making a flip and renouncing the Jedi ways like his father before him? Step back.
Well, if you get to the end, if we're able to get to the end of this trailer, you can make an argument for that. So let's go ahead and play. I'm going to play that, all of that we just unpacked a little bit. I'm going to replay it, and then we're going to continue because I need to hear that again. And while I'm walking, listening to this later, I'm going to want to hear it again. So here we go.
Light. Darkness. A balance.
You can clearly hear Help Me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then Seduced by the Dark Side. And that third one, we don't have time to listen to it now, but I'm going to have to go back and we'll have to figure that out.
All right, well, let's just continue since we touched on the voiceovers in the background there.
Let's
the great
roll edit. Here. Okay.
It's so much bigger.
Now, that shot is just... That's a heart stopper for me. I love
it. It is,
shot.
And I have to say, if you have only watched this on a phone or a tablet or something,
yes,
get your big screen TV hooked up because that shot looks like crap. Small, but yes. On my 65-inch widescreen, I mean, I felt all the hair on my body stand up when that thing happens.
Let me really quick describe what it is. This is the shot at the it looks like they're standing near a cliff on Octu. There looks to be three figures. The largest figure standing on the edge of the cliff, I would presume to be either a rock formation or Luke, but it's kind of hard to tell. The figure directly behind is wielding a lightsaber, like practicing with a lightsaber. And then there's a third figure to the rearmost from the ocean and just sort of watching this happen. So they're just, it's Rey practicing on the edge of Octu. It's just a beautiful shot.
And that figure standing back watching, clearly they've won the battle because they have the high ground. They're up a slope.
I'm going to go out and say that that's Luke up on top of the slope watching over Rey. And I just think that that's a rock formation.
Oh, you know what? I think you're right. Pulling it in, zooming in, it looks like a rock formation.
I'm pretty sure it's a training dummy of some kind.
There's rumors that somebody said it looked like Yoda sitting up on top of a formation. That's ridiculous. I'm not going to go with that. I don't think it's going to get that.
No, pulling it in. You're right. It's two humanoids, and that figure closest to the ocean looks like a rock.
But I loved the Nerdist commentary of, and here we have a shot of Luke teaching Rey his favorite strategy of swinging a lightsaber wildly about with no stratagem whatsoever.
Hey, it worked for him in all the other movies. All right, here we go. This Christmas.
Okay, can we pause it right there?
Yeah, I'll back up just a little bit. So go ahead, Dave.
There is some. I got to give a full shout out to Nerdist, which was my favorite recap clip of the ones I watched. This is one, a fantastic bit of imagery of a new planet, and I'll let Scott or you, Steve, talk about it. But if you look on the horizon shot, in the back, the horizon shot of that, there be AT-ATs there. Those skimmers are flying towards Imperial walkers.
Oh, yes. So do we need to forward a little bit to see that image?
Back it up a little bit.
Oh, okay. Look at that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is awesome.
I got to give Nerdist full credit. I did not notice that. I could have watched this 100 times and never seen that.
Now, I want to point out 100 things right now.
So really quick, let's describe the visual so our listeners know what we're looking at. This is the shot where there seems to be some single pilot or maybe two pilot fighters
skimming yes. along the planet surface. It's a white surface, but they're dragging something, some sort of appendage has dropped down from these fighters, and they're dragging along the surface of the planet, and it's kicking up red dust. So you've got this white surface with this appendage, whatever it is, digging down beneath the immediate surface of the planet and kicking up all this red dust. It's super, super cool looking. Sorry, okay. Go ahead, Scott.
Here we go. This is what it is. There is some official word on this. The planet is a new planet called Crate.
C-R-A-I-T-E.
That is correct. And what the planet is it's kind of like a Hoth-like desert world. I know that sounds contradictory, but just bear with me. It's covered in salt, but underneath the salt is this red what did they mention? The director mentioned what it was, but anyway.
It's much cooler sounding than unobtainium. I can't remember it either, but it's much cooler and more realistic sounding than unobtainium.
So the idea about what we're seeing here. Okay, and the other thing I want to point out is, yes, we pointed out the walkers that we see in the background. Walkers were present in The Force Awakens. If you don't remember, there's the sequence when General Hux is addressing the entire army, which is a little ridiculous, but... in the background, you'll see plenty of First Order ships. Walkers are there. They're a newer form of walker, just like we saw in Rogue One. These are much bigger walkers, bulkier, and they're called guerrilla walkers, as far as I know, what has been mentioned. They will be the ones that we see on this planet in this attack sequence. And apparently this is a very important planet and an important sequence that takes place in the new film. Those are the fighters that we are seeing are very reminiscent to me of the pod race sequence in the prequels. I love the idea of them skimming across the surface like this. But the idea that we're getting right here is they're kicking up these little airfoils that are sticking down into the soil or whatever it is, are kicking up this red dust that's underneath the thin layer of salt to distract or camouflage the attacking forces against the AT-ATs. Mm.
Well, it's a great visual. I mean, visually, it just looks fantastic.
It's stunning. It's so just cool. Stunning.
So cool. Yeah. All right, so we're going to go ahead and... All right, so, well, I'll play this and then we can... Okay, that segment, that 10 seconds, we've got Finn. Looks like he's in sort of a hyperbolic chamber or some sort of he's laying down, his eyes are closed. If you remember at the end of The Force Awakens, he was injured fairly badly by Kylo Ren in their battle there in the forest. So I would presume that he's getting healed up, sort of a modern back to tank sort of a situation. Yep. And then moving forward, we've got, let's see, what's the next shot here?
The best pilot robot duo.
Yes. We've got BB-8 and not Finn, sorry.
Poe.
Poe, thank you. Running towards...
Finn's boyfriend, Poe.
towards what turns out to be his X-Wing in a hangar bay that just gets decimated by some enemy fire.
Now, I'm going to go out and say I think that's a starship hangar bay. I don't think that's a planet-based hangar bay.
Yeah, I agree. It looks like a starship to me.
Well, if we look at the previous shot of Poe and BB-8 running, it looks like the interior of a Tantive IV-type ship. Uh-huh. I know it's different now with the newer models and the newer ships that they have, but it's the same sequence flipped when he's running out into this hangar bay, which is getting completely destroyed. I want to point one other thing out. As much as he is the greatest pilot in the world, he does not have the best luck with X-Wing fighters. This is the second time an X-Wing and Poe have blown up.
You're saying maybe he should switch his model, maybe go with a B-Wing or a U-Wing or a modified A-Wing or something?
And let me correct that. I didn't mean Poe was actually blowing up his X-Wing fighter. But the problem with this is it's his awesome black and what kind of gold-yellow one that is getting destroyed in this shot. Now, there's great things to point out in this real quick before the explosion happens. If you look to the left and the right in the foreground, those are clearly the back end of the brand new A-Wing fighters. Mm-hmm. One side on the left is the engines. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the right side, you'll see the front foil or whatever that is called.
And, And these are kind of longer A-wings than what we're traditionally familiar with. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And there are X-wings in the background as well. If you go under the front nose piece of Poe's X-wing, you'll see another one just about ready to blow up right there.
So maybe Poe will turn to the camera and go, again? Damn it. Thankfully,
or maybe
they have
BB-8
a...
will turn to the camera and go, ow.
Yeah. They must have really good insurance there in the galaxy far, far away. Lots of accidents with these ships. All right.
I only know one truth.
Okay, I'm not sure where to stop here. There's just so much to unpack as we get closer to the end here. So we get a quick shot of the Falcon, the only shot of the Falcon we get in the trailer.
Taking out I'm always wanting to call them Imperial TIE Fighters, but it's First Order TIEs.
So just looking at the when we missed Rey running with a very determined look on her face and a blue lightsaber out.
Yep.
But, and the speculation there is that at some point they're going to have to get off the planet or it's just going to be a boring movie. So the speculation is that Kylo Ren comes to Octu and launches an attack of some kind. Mm-hmm. And one of the speculations I've heard is that he burns the Jedi tree to the ground, which would just be horrific. Oof. And would, I'm assuming, if that happened, would get a very strong response from Jedi Master Luke Skywalker. But that could be Rey running to, you know, fight. Then we see Kylo Ren with a very nice scar on his face,
yes,
courtesy of The Force Awakens. No mask.
Next shot we see is Luke. This is a reminiscent shot of the original trailer, but from a different perspective of Luke and R2.
Can I just point out really quick before we go ahead, yeah, on this shot with Kylo, and it's something that I saw online. I can't take credit for this, but someone pointed out that when Krennic is on the scaffolding there at the end of Rogue One, and he's watching the Death Star. You know, he knows he's about to die, and he's watching the green beam of the Death Star blast.
Scarif.
The Scarif. You can see the reflection of the green beam in Krennic's eyes. Yeah, and I just thought that was such a great observation and such wonderful detail from the filmmakers. And here you have the same thing. You've got Kylo Ren looking down the length of his blade, and you can see the red glowing blade's reflection in his eyes. And that's great imagery there.
I want to add to that, and I know we got to try and wrap this thing up soon, but that's been speculated on. If you've watched the whole sequence, which is pretty short, it's either the reflection of his blade, which I tend to agree with, but what we've noticed in the past is that once you go to the dark side, that your eye color changes to this yellow-red. Mm-hmm. Anakin had it in Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. I think Maul had the yellow-eye-red color too. A lot of people are speculating that because of the events that happened in Force Awakens, that Kylo Ren in this moment has changed, and maybe his training that Snoke has been giving him since the last since Force Awakens constitutes his eye color change in here. And I don't know. I still think it's the reflection of his blade. It's a close-up shot like that, looking down the blade. I'm going to go with that, but that theory is out there. I'm just putting that out there.
Yep.
I'll agree with that, Scott, but it will point out something interesting. It would suggest that Kylo Ren might still be able to be saved if he hasn't gone full Sith.
Yeah. I mean, who really does go full Sith?
Then at the very end of that sequence, we had a hooded figure, and R2, looks like R2, looking at some sort of structure that's on fire.
This is the one that I'm going to say is the throwback to the original shot of Luke, the hooded figure of Luke putting his mechanical hand on R2,
yeah,
and we see a front shot or a side front shot. This, to me, is what we're going to get more of Luke's background, what really happened with the Knights of Ren. This looks like Luke's training temple where he trained Kylo and other Jedi that Kylo ended up slaughtering.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I agree with that, but this shot here that Steve just froze on, which is the next one, I don't think this is – that's Captain Phasma.
That's right.
And if that's Captain Phasma, this shot is not the Jedi temple.
I don't think this shot – this is the trickery of this. This is where it's going to be different. Keep it zoomed out right there, Steve.
Okay.
If you notice, a couple things are different. The floor is more of a glossy interior bay shot.
Yeah.
A hangar. And look up in the upper left, you see the curved architecture of like a door panel divider or whatever. This to me seems like that scene where the X-Wing was being blown up in the hangar bay. That looks like the possible side of a hangar bay after Phasma just came in and is like, look, I had no airtime in the first movie. Now I'm going to be a badass and blow up your hangar bay.
Yeah,
that's what I think is happening there.
I think that's a good call, but that's interesting how they've put these back to back. And so it's a little bit until you pause here and really take a look.
It's an editing
hard to tell.
Look at the ground. Look at the foreground. That looks like it's more of an organic surface.
Yep.
I think it's different.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I think that first shot that we saw in an early trailer for The Force Awakens with Luke putting his hand on R2, his robotic hand on R2. There's some fire in that shot as well. So I agree. This looks very similar.
I just want to jump off on that to make a broader point here. That trailer that we're talking about, that was narrated entirely by Mark Hamill.
Yes.
Dialogue that was not in The Force Awakens, and actually several shots that weren't in The Force Awakens. And if you jump back to the first teaser trailer for The Force Awakens, it started off with a voiceover that wasn't anywhere in the film,
right?
And is actually evocative of the point that Rey is making in the first voiceover in this teaser trailer, because it talks about there's been an awakening. Have you felt it? The light and the dark,
right?
Good catch.
So there is a lot of stuff that Star Wars and Lucasfilm put in these marketing things that may not actually appear in the movie. May have nothing to do with the movie. It's stuff that they're putting together specifically to market it and tease us and show us a little leg. Because the reality is they don't have to convince anybody to go see a Star Wars movie. They just have to announce the day that it's opening.
Oh, I like what you're saying, David, but I'm going to add something to that. I think that it does make more of a movie experience. I really feel that now that you look back and say what you're saying about that first voiceover, which we assumed was the new character Snoke at the time doing the voiceover. Is that correct?
That's my recollection, yeah.
Okay. Saying that there's been an awakening, have you felt it, the light, the dark, that is very similar to what Luke is saying with Rey. And if what we're thinking about the possibility of a new type of Jedi Order, at least for me, I think that is actually part of the movie experience. Those scenes aren't in the movie, but we knew that they were filmed, obviously, for the trailers.
Yeah, they're.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's kind of where I'm going with it. Is this is to me, that would be total next level marketing.
Yeah.
If we're actually picking up on something here, they set up points for movie 2 in the trilogy in a teaser for movie 1.
Yeah.
That didn't even have any, that wasn't even used in the actual movie 1. Like this, that would be some next level marketing thinking. And makes me so happy with where they're going and the attention they're paying to the direction of this franchise. They are not making this up as they go along.
Yeah, this blows away the 1999 marketing campaign for Blair Witch, I'll tell you. It really does.
And I love thinking that they're thinking that far ahead, and it would make sense, since they're rolling out these movies 2 years apart, that they have the big picture and then they're able to pick and choose what they want to tease and when. I love that. However, I will also go back and say, you know, there's been a lot filmed and a lot done by ILM in these trailers that didn't get put into Rogue One, for instance. Like, you've got the TIE coming up onto this, you know, appearing above the scaffolding when Jin is walking on the scaffolding. That was never in the film. That was an experiment done by ILM just to see if they could do it, and they liked it enough to put it in a trailer. So I like the idea that they're thinking that far ahead, and that's that next level marketing. But I think it could very easily be some retconning here by fans and even by the filmmakers going, oh, yeah, we meant to do that. I would love to think that it's not, but it could be.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, but just remember that these are the saga films. These are the films that we're talking about that continue that ongoing story. Rogue One is a separate new type of entity that, you know, the Disney Lucasfilm entity is experimenting with. I love what you're saying, but I really feel that, yes, they did what they you just mentioned, Steve. But these films, I think there is a bigger structure picture that they have planned out. They know where this is going, obviously, at this point. And that's a great way of marketing. It
Very
really
true.
Is.
Very
it's
true.
Fantastic.
Very true. Okay, let's hit play. So the first part of that, we had a great looking space battle. You had to have some space battle in this trailer, right? They've got to throw it, give a little something to us, throw us a bone here, throw me a frickin' bone. great shots. I am not familiar with this ship. This it looks like a blockade of ships,
it's the new Rebel basic ship. I forget the name of it, but
okay.
Yeah,
it's very. It has some reminiscent feels of the medical frigates and a few others, kind of mashed together, but kind of chopped in half a little bit. It's clearly a blockade of some sort. There's a greenish, bluish, very Earth-like planet below that could be Octu, if I'm saying that right. Sorry if I am. I'm not. There are many TIE fighters coming in for the attack. You do see an A-wing fighter in this. You also see an X-wing fighter. A couple of them fly by. There was a couple other things. It's a great moment. There's a theory about what the blockade is for, that planet possibly being Octu, that they're there to protect Luke after they find out where Luke is. There's a couple other things that it could be. There's some new planets that they're mentioning, and I don't know. There's a lot going on here.
Here's the big thing that I want to throw out. So that last bit of dialogue, you know, I only know one thing. It's time for the Jedi to end.
Yes.
Is that Luke's voice?
Yes.
Because I wasn't sure about it the first time I listened to it. And I didn't say anything. And Christine had the exact same reaction the first time we watched it. She turned to me and said, is that still Luke talking at the end? Because it sounds a lot more like Kylo Ren.
Okay, let me play it again. Got it queued up here. Let's play it again. Listen carefully. To me, that's Luke.
Yeah, here's – okay, Dave, before you jump in, I'm going to say, based off of what you said and what we read from you online about that, I did not question that at all at first. That is Luke. And again, this falls into the theory that you and I have talked about, that the three of us have actually talked about on this little quick mini cast, that there is a new Jedi order that is going to come out of this, or a whole new idea of the Force and the good and the bad. But if you go back and listen to it, prior to him saying the Jedi must end, that first part, I only know one truth, really does start to drop in voice, gets deep. Mm. And it does have a little bit of Kylo Ren sounding in it. But after listening to it now probably 117 times, I still think it's Luke. I think it's Luke, and what we're going to find out about Luke and the Jedi and where he's possibly taking this idea of Jedi, and dare I say the idea of midichlorians, to a whole new level. I think it's him finding this new gray area or gray Jedi that I think is going to pop up.
Let's listen one more time, and then you've got the conch here, Dave. Hold on one second.
It's time for the Jedi to end.
Okay, so one, before I jump into that, I just want to point out, it's hard to see if we had the technology ability to lighten this shot up, which is Luke standing at the cave entrance or tree hole entrance, but Rey's staff is right there. Right about where the black pointer is on the screen right now.
Hmm.
Rey's staff is there. I saw a lightened version of it online last night.
Wow.
But in terms of the voiceover, I agree. I think it is probably Luke. That is the most likely answer. But just since we're in full speculative mode here.
Sure.
The story implications, if it was Kylo Ren, are also very interesting. And the implication of just if it is Luke, but maybe he has spent a lot of time studying dark side stuff and he can sound a little like the deep Sith voice when he talks now because he has Sith-like powers. Maybe that's part of it, too.
Yeah,
I don't know. I thought it was interesting that other people have had that same kind of reaction that I did questioning it, because just by myself at the office, I was like, is that Kylo? No, it's got to be Luke. But then watching some other people have the same reaction, I'm like, okay, that's not just me being weird. There is something there to that, and I'm not sure what it means.
The other thing I'm going to point out is in that moment, and this isn't in the trailer, but we know it from the panel, Daisy Ridley had mentioned something about meeting her idol and not living up to her expectation or somebody's expectation of that person. That concept comes through in this moment of the idea of going to train as a Jedi, knowing that you have that power in you. Obviously, after the fight with Kylo Ren on Starkiller Base, she knows that she has this. And she goes to meet the person who's supposed to, or in theory, will train her, and doesn't sound like he's very excited about it. If you go and meet the teacher that's telling you, I'm going to teach you and train you, but you know what? The Jedi should end. That's not very uplifting or motivating to some people. And so there could be, you know, this could be the opening of the door to a new type of Jedi Order. I'm going to keep saying that because I really feel that Luke has been enlightened in the sense that maybe the Jedi weren't right.
Yeah.
Maybe there was an issue there. Maybe they had misinterpreted some of the old text over thousands of years.
I think it's a much more compelling story if you have Luke who's wants to disengage and you know, tear down the Jedi and not rebuild the Jedi Temple in the Jedi way. Then right. if she just shows up and he says, oh, great, let's get this thing started again. It's not as good of a story. And I think that the filmmakers are very, very in tune with this and very savvy. And so it wouldn't surprise me at all if this was Luke Skywalker saying, you know, there's a lot I don't know, but the one thing I do know is the Jedi were wrong about more than they were right about.
Yeah,
and we need to end this.
This falls in line with everything we've seen marketing-wise, everything that we've been told marketing-wise through the actors and the official channels, that this will be a much darker film.
Yeah.
And I like that. The title is now in the red. We've been told by Kathleen Kennedy and I think a few other people that, you know, everybody's character goes to very dark places in this, much like the Empire feel. The good guys don't win in that film. This might be that transition. The other thing that we didn't mention is one of the big things is we see that blockade moment. And I know, Dave, we got to wrap this up real quick, but I'm going to point this out too. It's not like anyone's sitting on their laurels doing nothing. It looks like even though Starkiller Base got, you know, got wiped out and the First Order got their butts royally kicked in the first one and was very reminiscent of the original Star Wars A New Hope, it looks like the First Order, they go full throttle on them. They're attacking. They fill the void. They take over the spot. They destroyed seven planets that were all part of the Galactic Republic. So what happens when you're entirely – I mean, imagine if they took out the
coast. It's the seat of power for the Galactic Republic.
Right, right.
Right.
So imagine if like DC, our DC got wiped out. We're a nation of like, what do we do? I mean, really is.
Yeah, I would argue it's even beyond that. It's like DC got wiped out, New York got wiped out, Paris got wiped out,
right.
London got wiped out, and pick your other three major world cities and then say, what does the planet Earth do for leadership at this point?
Yeah, as much as we argue and discuss to death politics and stuff and how much we hate it or love it or whatever, if those governing bodies are all wiped out at one those are planets. We're talking probably billions of people on seven different planets just get obliterated. Now, the First Order, oh, well, we lost a big weapon and a planet and a good portion of our army, but we still have an armada out there. They're going to go ballistic and try and fill that spot and knock out any of these resistant or rebel fighters.
Well, it does kind of bring up for me also, what is General Leia's role going to be at this point? And just as a quick sidebar, how easy is it to be a general in the frickin' Star Wars universe? I mean, how many do we have just in the original core cast? General Solo, General Calrissian, now General Skywalker. I mean, they're handing this thing out like it's a frickin' Pez dispenser.
Oh, that's another argument for another time, but yes, I love that theory.
but
Go ahead, keep going.
Okay, but my larger point is, if the entire leadership structure and political structure of the New Republic has collapsed and is no longer there, does the Resistance leadership structure have to move into that void, or what happens? And maybe that's where the Laura Dern character comes in.
Yeah.
Well, wow. That was a fast hour, guys.
It was.
Wow.
We didn't even mention the new character they debuted at the celebration.
Rose.
Yeah, but it wasn't in the trailer, so that's fair.
Well, there's a lot still happening. We're only halfway through Celebration itself as we record and release this show. It's Saturday, April 15th. And so we've got all day today. We've got tomorrow. Lot to watch and lot to break down. We're going to be talking about Celebration for at least a couple of episodes, I have a feeling, guys.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate you guys coming on with me on a Saturday. And this was a lot of fun. Thanks for taking the time to break this down. And boy, as it has been for the last year and a half, it is an exciting, exciting time to be fans of this franchise. So much happening. And by the way, I want to hear about Thrawn. I hope you can finish Thrawn, Dave, because I'd love to hear your take on it. I love that it appears that we're getting some background information on Thrawn, and I'm on vacation this week, so I'm going to go pick that up today and start reading it.
I'm just going to tease you with this. Okay. One of the scenes is basically Thrawn at the Imperial Academy playing poker with Imperial cadets.
Oh.
Just, and how do you think that's going to go?
Oh. Wow. Yeah, I would not want to play chess or poker with that man, that's for sure. Well, if you want to play chess or poker with Scott or Dave or Steve, you can call and leave us a voicemail. 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. And or leave us a voice message about the show. We'd love to hear your take on the trailer. You can also email us, wretchedhive@yahoo.com. We will be back on in a couple of weeks. I think our next show is scheduled for around the end of the month. But we may release a couple of these mini shows between now and then. We'll see. There's just a lot to cover from Star Wars Celebration. So we're glad you are here with us. Thanks again for your listenership, and have a great Saturday. May the Force be with us all.